Okay, so first of all, thank you all for joining. I know it's a weeknight and things can be very busy, and it's meaningful to me that you decided to spend time learning, so thank you so much. Just before I begin, I wanted to point out that the Beit Midrash I'm a part of, Beit Midrash Zichron Dov, we are having a very important and I think worthwhile event in a week, this coming Sunday actually. This coming Sunday, starting at 10 a.m., until the evening, we have a number of shiurim accessible through Zoom. Spanning the day, you can come for one, come for two, come for as many as you want. No charge at all. And they will be themed around Rosh Hashanah, then Yom Kippur, then Sukkot, then Simchat Torah. So should be a really wonderful event. You can look at our website, torontotorah.com, for more information on that. Okay, so to get to tonight's topic, I wanted to start by asking a very basic, but I think pointed question. And that is as follows. And I know I'm being brave asking for participation on Zoom, but I'd like to get a conversation started, so I'm going to do it anyway. And so my question is, if you were to meet someone who was really not learned at all about anything religious, and they ask you, I heard about this thing called Teshuvah, and I want to know about it. What is it? What is Teshuvah? In one sentence, because that's all you have, say they're in a hurry, and you're going to give them their impression about Judaism, religion, this is your shot. How would you answer such a person? Well, how would you explain what Teshuvah is in one sentence?
Give me your phone number.
Give me your phone number, okay. But when they call you... Oh, my phone number. Oh, thanks. Thanks, Paul. I appreciate that. So what should I tell them when they ask me? What should I tell them? In one sentence. What is Teshuvah? What is it? We're spending time about it, thinking about it now. We have 10 days of Teshuvah, right? Yom Kippur is all about Teshuvah. But what is it? When do you do tshuva? Let me ask it that way. When does one do tshuva?
Every day.
Every day. Okay. That sounds good. Why? Why every day?
Yeah.
Why do we do it every day? So, I'll tell you what I would have said. So, I think tshuva is classically defined as repentance. And at that point you ask, well, that sounds like a nice English word, but what does repentance really mean? So repentance, as I understand it, is usually associated with a sin. That after a person sins, they want to repair their sin. They want to achieve some sort of atonement. And they do this, and they repent. They repent, and we can define it in different ways. It might be associated with some feelings of guilt or sorrow. There might be a commitment to do better in the future, but that's what repentance, that's what tshuva is. That's one, I think, very narrow definition of it. So what I want to do tonight is challenge that. I'm going to challenge that tonight. I'm going to argue that maybe that's a very narrow view of tshuva. Maybe... we have to look at it differently to really understand what it is, to really gain from this time period that we are now experiencing. And to do that, I'd like to probe the thoughts of Rav Avram Yitzchak Cohen Cook. A few words about Rav Avram Yitzchak Cohen Cook, whose Torah we'll be studying tonight. Rav Avram Yitzchak Cohen Cook was born in the late 1800s. He lived in Europe for the beginning of his life. He was a student in the Lajner Yeshiva, which was the primary yeshiva at his time. And that's very important for a number of reasons. A lot of things were really impactful that happened in the world that affected Rav Cook's life. He was alive at a time where it was in the middle of the Haskalah, the Enlightenment, which was a good thing in a lot of ways, but also it was a challenging thing for religious people who wanted to maintain a simple faith. For the first time... classic tenets were being challenged, Jews were exposed to different viewpoints. So that was one thing that happened in Rav Cook's life that was it's really important to know. Rav Cook also lived at a time of the rise of Zionism, the movement of Jewish people to establish a homeland for the Jewish people in Israel. And although there were religious Jews involved in that process, primarily the people who were involved in beginning the State of Israel were not religious in the slightest. And different people had different approaches to how to deal with secular Zionism. And that was another really important part of Rav Kook's life. And then finally, I think the last thing I will add is that at the end of Rav Kook's life, the yeshiva movement itself began to experience some challenges. And there was a certain, this relates to the enlightenment, there was a certain lack of, we'll say, piety that some of the greatest Torah scholars exhibited. They were very well educated, they knew a lot, but that didn't always translate into their religious behavior. They weren't as pious as they knew to be. And those are all a lot of really important things that shaped Rav Kook's life. So I want to begin, I'm going to share my source sheet now, and I want to begin by looking at the introduction to Avraham Yitzchak Cook's book on Tshuva. Because I think it's very relevant. So let me just share my source sheet. Oh, sorry about that. One second. I'm going to share my screen. And hopefully everyone will be able to see that here. We'll just click one second, please. Here, we'll click the Word version here. Oh, this should be good. Beautiful. Does everyone see it? Please let yell out if you don't. Okay. I'm going to read the English. The Hebrew of Kook is really beautiful. We'll read a little bit of Hebrew, but this is the introduction to his book. He says as follows. For a long while, I have fought an internal war, and the strong spirit has pushed me to talk about Teshuvah, and all my ideas are concentrated only on it. I'm fascinated with this notion of Teshuvah. I've always been thinking about it. I've wanted to write about it for a long time. Tshuva spends the greater part of the Torah and life. Right? First of all, tshuva is all-encompassing. Tshuva is not simply a response to a narrow part of Jewish life. It spans the greater part of Torah and life, on which all personal and public hopes are built. Which is another important thing to note about Rav Kook on tshuva, Rav Kook. There's public and private tshuva. The community does tshuva as well, which I'll have to explain. And it's the commandment of God, which is on the one hand easy and simple, for a thought of tshuva is already a type of tshuva, and the other hand is very difficult, and it's which has not yet been fully fulfilled in the world and life. The world has not done tshuva yet. We haven't had a fulfillment of tshuva. It's very easy, but also very difficult. And here's where I get to the point I wanted to focus on. I find myself inclined to always second tally talk only about it. Much is written in the Torah and the prophets and in the words of the sages about it, and for our generation, things are still obscure and need clarification. Meaning, Rav Kook is saying here, there are a lot of books already about tshuva. There's a lot of books about repentance. Any rabbi, any priest, anyone can quote you verses that have to do with repentance. There's a lot of material that's already out there. But I still don't think we're getting to the crux of it. We're still missing the main idea of tshuva. That's what Rav Kook is saying. Literature, which wanders through all the angles that there is, poetry and life, has not penetrated at all into this wonderful treasure of life, the treasure of tshuva. There's so much literature out there, but we still haven't probed the depths of tshuva. Truly, begun to take interest in it, to know its character and value. Dark in its poetic side, that is inexplicably endearing, and all the more so, it has not yet pointed a finger at its practical side. Meaning, we've just began to think about, on an intellectual level, what tshuva is, and practically how it works in the real world, we haven't even touched the surface. Especially as regards to our modern life situation. And for Rav Kook, this is a really important point. Rav Kook thought that in our day and age, it was a time, it was an era in history ripe for tshuva, for repentance. Okay, and here's the thing. I am pushed by my inner powers to speak about tshuva, and I myself, I'm disgusted by my thoughts. Says Rav Kook, I want to write about tshuva, but I can't even believe. I'm disgusted by the fact that I want to write about tshuva. Am I worthy to discuss the matter of tshuva? the greatest of the past generations, the pure prophets and sages, the greatest devotees have written about tshuva. How can I stand in their audience? Says Rav Kook, there are so many great rabbis who have already written about tshuva. So what am I doing writing my thoughts? What am I even adding? But he says, but no weakness in the world can exempt me from my inner calling. I must speak of teshuvah, and precisely on its literary and practical side, to understand its content in our generation, and its implementation of life, in the life of the individual, and in public life. To summarize briefly, and this is what I want to study, Rav Kook is saying, in one sentence, so much has been said about teshuvah. So much has been written about this concept. You don't need another book. There's so much that's already there. However, just one second. So I'm just going to mute everyone. If you want to contribute something, just please let me know, and you can unmute yourself, I believe. There's so much that's already been written about teshuvah, and I'm not going to define that word yet. I'm not going to define what teshuvah is, but there's so much that's been written about it. But he says, but all that stuff that's been written, it's not getting to what it really is. They're all missing something fundamental about teshuvah. And I want to think about that. What does Rav Kook think is missing? Which books are Rav Kook talking about? Which rabbis is he referring to? And what are they missing about teshuvah? So we're going to do now a study in contrast, okay? We're going to read the Rambam, how the Rambam approaches this concept. And then I'd like to show how Rav Kook approached it drastically differently. And I think we'll get an appreciation about where he's going with this. Why he thinks there's so much missing. Why he needed to write this book, even though he couldn't write the book, but he wrote it anyway. So let's begin with the Rambam. Now the Rambam, for just as a brief review, the Rambam of Rabbi Moses Maimonides was a brilliant scholar and a brilliant philosopher, but was also a brilliant halachist. And that is, he wrote, in his view, he wrote a book which summarizes all of Jewish law and practice. Okay? And he wrote a guidebook to all of halacha. And in that guidebook, he has this book called The Laws of Tshuva. And I want to focus on the way the Rambam looks at tshuva. Okay? So we're going to take two excerpts. It's source number two. It says the Rambam as follows. Kol mitzvot shebetorah, ben aseh ben lo taseh. All mitzvot, whether from the Torah, whether they are positive commandments or negative commandments. Im avar adam lacha mehem ben bezadon ben bishkaga, kishayash et shuva v'yashu mechato, chayev letvadot. If a person sins in any way, whether they don't do something they should do, or they do something they shouldn't do, when they do tshuva, we'll call it for now, when they do repentance, they need to confess their sin in front of God. So stopping here for a second. According to the Rambam, when does one do tshuva? What is it in response to? What triggers tshuva? Is it every day, Dennis? Say that again? You have to unmute yourself. Okay. I'll try to unmute people for a second. Okay. Everyone's unmuted, I think. So when does one do tshuva according to the Rambam? I think Paul's trying to talk. I can't hear him. But it's when you sing. Is that what you're saying, Paul? You can nod. For some reason, I don't know what Paul's talking, but I can't hear him. It's when you sin. That's when you do tshuva. Ooh, I'm sorry. Tshuva is when you do something wrong, you do it. You confess, and you do tshuva. And he says what you do. Shenemar, as it says, Ish o isha ki asu, hitvadu achat atam asher asu. It says in the Torah, in Bamidbar, when a person sins, they will confess their sin. Ze vidoy dvarim. This refers to a verbal confession. Vidoy ze mitzvah aseh. This confession is a positive commandment. Ketzam mitfadim, what do you do when you confess? Here's what you do. Amar, Omer, Ana Hashem, you say, please God, Chatati, I've sinned, Aviti Peshati. Three different phrases, all referring to sin. I've sinned accidentally, I've sinned on purpose, I've rebelled against you, Lifanecha, in front of you, Asiti Kafakach, here's what I did. Hareni Chamti Uvoshi B'masai. And I regret and I'm embarrassed about my actions. I'm never going to return to it again. That is what confession is, okay? So our first Rambam is, the Rambam tells you when you sin, you do tshuva, you repent, and you confess. And you had...
Can you hear me now?
Yes, now I got you, Paul. What do you want to say?
What I was saying before is that you have to recognize that you have sinned. Because if you don't recognize you have sinned, you don't know that you have sinned, and therefore you can't do tshuva.
100%.
So the time to do tshuva is when you recognize that you have sinned.
Correct. Good. That's a good point. You sin, you realize you did something wrong, you recognize the sin. That's what tshuva is. It's a response to the recognition of sin. That's what it is.
Right.
Not only that, the Rambam tells us when we do tshuva. The Rambam tells us how we do tshuva. We'll get to more of that in a second. The Rambam tells us the exact words that you're supposed to say or that you need to say when you do tshuva. He tells you a script. You can read it out of the Rambam. When you sin, you can take out your Rambam and you could say, you know, oh, here's what he says. I sinned, I rebelled against you, I made a mistake, and I'm embarrassed. It's a script. He gives you a script. That's what the Rambam is doing here. So the first paragraph in the Rambam here is talking about confession specifically. That's the first chapter in the Rambam, which is interesting. And then in the second paragraph here, which is the second chapter in the Laws of Tshuva, again, he defines it very clearly. There's a very clear definition. There are steps. There's a procedure as to what you do when you do tshuva. So here's the Rambam here. Umahi ad tshuva. What is tshuva? Again, the Rambam talked about vidoy, confession. He talked about the words that you say when you're doing this process. Now he talks about the process as a whole. So what is tshuva? What is repentance? For the Rambam, we'll use the word repentance. I'm not comfortable with that word generally, but for the Rambam, that's what we'll say. Hu sheyazov achotei cheto. So the sinner abandons their sin. They stop sinning. V'yisiro mimachshav to. And they remove it from their thoughts. V'yigmor bilibo shelo yaseyu od. And they conclude in their hearts that they're never going to do it again. Shenemar yazov rasha darko. And he quotes a pasuk in Yeshaya. It's important here. What's really important to recognize is, just a shout out to the Rambam here. There is no book in the Torah about tshuva, right? So we have a lot of books in the rabbinic literature about different topics. There's a tractate about Shabbat. There's a tractate about Sukkot. There's a tractate about Rosh Hashanah. That's all in there. There is no book about how to do tshuva. The Rambam had to bring various statements from all over Torah and bring them all together, and he made his book about tshuva. So it's really worth noting here. So here, first he takes the pasuk from Yeshaya. Yeshaya tells us, stop sinning. Abandon the sin. That's step one. V'chein yitnachem al shavar. So after you stop sinning, you regret. You look toward the past, and you regret the past. You regret what has happened. Shenemar ki acharei shuvinu chamti. Now he takes the pasuk from Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah it says, after I did tshuva, I felt bad, I regretted it. So we have one pasuk in Yeshaya telling us that we stop sinning. That's step one. Step two from Yirmiya, you regret it. Step three, v'ya'ed alav yodeh talumo shaloy yashud lazeh achei la'olam. And then you call God as a witness, he who knows secrets. You call him as witness and say, you're not going to do it again. So you make a commitment in the future, I'm not going to sin again. As it says, that this is actually referring, this is a bit of an interesting source for this, but the source is, it will no longer be said that our handiwork is our God. No one's ever going to say that we worship idolatry anymore. And everyone can say hi to Miriam. She's here for your entertainment. And you need to confess with your lips. The Rambam gives us four steps. Each step the Rambam gives us is from a different place in Tanakh. He has one step from Yeshaya, and that's stopping. He takes a pasuk from Yirmiya. You feel bad about what you did. And then he goes to Hosea. Then you say you're never going to do it again. And finally, going back to our first chapter, confession. The Rambam, again, wrote a halachic work. The Rambam's realm is a realm of halachic norms. It's prescriptive. It's telling you what you need to do when you need to do it. And there are a lot of things we need to do. And one of those things that we need to do is tshuva. And when do you do tshuva? When you recognize, as Paul told us, when you sin. And how do you do tshuva? The Rambam says, here's how you do it. There's four steps. I gathered them all together for you. Here's the script that you say. Beautiful. Now, I don't want to sell the Rambam short. There is a lot more to the Rambam. He talks about how wonderful tshuva is and how important it is. He talks about how we have free will and free choice, and we have the power to make changes in our lives. That's all really important. By and large, though, the Rambam is giving us a very particular formula about how to do tshuva and telling us what we need to do and how. My question to you is, before we go on to Rav Kook, okay? What issue do you think you might raise about the Rambam's approach? And why do you think Rav Kook might have thought the Rambam didn't get to the crux of the matter? What I'm positing to you is that Rav Kook knew about this Rambam. When Rav Kook writes that there's been so many great rabbis who have written about tshuva, he certainly also means the Rambam. He says, yet the Rambam was missing something, something big. And my question to you is, what do you think the Rambam might have been missing here? What do you think Rav Kook needed to add? Okay. Any thoughts? Oh, no. I know, Paul, I think Paul's trying again. I lost you again, though, Paul.
Okay.
There you go. Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
So, we are only human, and there are sins that we recognize that we sinned, which we may sin again on the same basis. Is it not a sin to say that you won't sin again when you know that man is only human and weak and may commit the same sin again? Is that not doubling of a sin?
So you're saying, you're arguing you might be insincere. You might be insincere. When you say you're not going to sin again, you have a problem with the commitment not to do it again. That is a good point. The Rambam's being very extreme in his formulation. He's saying you have to say, part of tshuva is, you have to say you're not going to do it again. Hey, Rambam, what if I don't know if I'm not going to do it again? What do I do then? Right? Like, what if, you know what, I try every single year to say that I'm never going to come late to Shacharis again, but I do it every single year. In fact, I probably do it the day after Yom Kippur. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, all of us have things we say we're not going to do again, and yet we do them. So does that mean we can't do tshuva? So I don't know if the Rambam would say no, but it sounds like you're missing something. Okay, that's another point. Anything else here? Well, anything else that bothers you with the Rambam's approach?
Rabbi?
Yeah.
How about doing a sin that you don't recognize one year and then you recognize another year for instance, coming late every day? You don't realize you're stealing time and catches up to you. Like in Rosh Hashanah, you have all these sins that you even don't really recognize that you do it every time, like stealing time or...
Okay, so what if you don't recognize that you sinned? What about then? I can't even confess it. Okay, that's another good point. Especially for the Rambam, I'll add, Paul mentioned this before, you need to recognize it. Well, for the Rambam, it sounds like you sort of need to say what you did wrong. It's not enough to just say you're sorry. I think what we're sort of getting at is, it's very, very specific. It's very targeted. The Rambam's tshuva is very targeted. It's, I did one sin, I think about that sin, maybe I did more than one sin, you know? Maybe I did a lot of sins, I think about all of them. Right? We take out our achet on Yom Kippur, we take out our machzor, we think about every single specific sin, and we think about that we're not going to do it again, and that we're sorry. So to me, what I'm going to argue is that I think the Rav Kook is saying, Rambam, you can't tell people how to do tshuva. I mean, you can, but it's missing something. There's something fundamental about tshuva for which being prescriptive, prescribing a way of doing it, prescribing a program falls short. And let me frame it in this way. Let me frame it as follows. If I were to ask you, if you had a friend and something in your relationship deteriorated. Something went wrong. Either you offended each other, you lost touch with each other, you lost interest in each other, something of that nature. And you needed to get a formula, right? And the formula is going to say, this is how you say sorry, or this is how you repair relationships with other people. This is how you do it, right? And someone gave you that formula, and they said, look, I wrote the perfect formula for how it is you repair a relationship. Here it is. Follow the relationship. Follow the formula. It's going to be great. I promise you, your friend will like you again. It's going to be like it always was. What would bother you about that? Or would something bother you about that? Someone, if you told someone, you know, I'm struggling in a relationship of mine. There's something went wrong, and I feel very bad about it. And someone told you, oh, you know what? No problem. Here, I wrote it down for you. I wrote a whole treatise on how to repair relationships. Here it is. Follow it. You're going to be okay. What would rub you the wrong way about that? What might be a bit presumptuous about that?
Rabbi.
Yeah.
Relationships is not, it's not mathematical.
Ah.
There's no right and there's no wrong. Like mathematics could be right or wrong. So each case, each situation is just different. You can't write a book on that.
100%, yes. 100%. And you can tell me if you agree with or disagree with Charlie. That is what I was going for. The point is, every relationship has its own dynamics. Every relationship is unique. It depends on you, on the person, on the time of day, on your emotional temperament, on your situation in life. There are so many dynamics in every single relationship. There's so many unique factors. There's so much going on there. Now, could you give some tips? You might be able to give some tips. You might be able to say, you have to swallow your pride. You have to say you're sorry. You have to show that you care about them. You might be able to give some tips, but you can't give a very particular formula. That's going to be one size fits all. It's not how it works. Now think about then, tshuva. Tshuva is repairing a relationship between a person and God. And I'm going to argue also repairing a relationship between a person and themselves. And the dynamics here relate to a one's soul. They relate to a person's spiritual and mental and emotional makeup. And how could you possibly diagnose that by simply saying, here are my four steps? And I think that's one of the things Rukuk is going to tell us. For Rukuk, tshuva, first of all, is not specifically to repair a sin. It's not about, I'm sorry for sinning. It's much more than that. Tshuva is a way of getting yourself back on your natural trajectory. For Rukuk, every single person has a natural trajectory, a spiritual journey that their soul is going on. And our souls can get diverted. We can fall off the track, but our souls are on that journey. It is happening. They're going in a certain direction. And I'll add for Rav Kook, our souls are not only on their own individual journeys, but the world is on a spiritual journey. The world, everything, for a cook, everything is unified. Every community, every person, every being in the world is all on a journey, on a trajectory, and it's constantly moving. And tshuva means getting everything back in place. That's what tshuva means. Take a look at source number 3 for a second. Source number 3 says as follows. This is Rukuk at the very beginning of his first thing. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. And I think what you'll see about Rukuk is that, you know what? He never tells us what to do. He never says, this is what you do. He does something different. Look what he says. Et ha-tshuva, anu motzim b'shalosh marachot. We find tshuva in 3 different systems. Tshuva tivit emunit tshuva sichlit. So first, Rav Kook, and we're not going to go into all these three in depth. Rav Kook says there are three types of tshuva, three systems of tshuva. There's a natural tshuva, a natural, we'll call it returning. There is a devotional returning, and there is an intellectual. We're not going to do the first two inside, but Rav Kook describes natural tshuva means. Natural tshuva means. Does everybody still hear me? Can you give me a thumbs up if you do? Thank you. Natural tshuva means that there's something about your physical or spiritual makeup that guides you toward tshuva. Meaning, on the physical level, for a cook, everything is united. Sins will result in physical decay. You will not feel good physically. You will feel like your body is not functioning well if you live a life that is not the life you're supposed to be living. And that can inspire you to do tshuva. More than that, every single person, if they're functioning the right way, wants to feel like they're accomplishing their spiritual mission. And tshuva can be inspired by this natural feeling that I'm off kilter. Emunit means, according to Rav Kook, that you read the Torah, you read a book that's inspiring, and you know that you're supposed to do tshuva. You know that you get punished for sins, and that inspires you to do tshuva. And finally, he describes this last level, which I wanted to actually read inside with you. Says Rav Kook as follows. I'll read this paragraph inside here in Hebrew, and hopefully you can read along in English if you'd like to follow that instead. Hatshuva ha-sichlit hi otza shekfar rachshala et ha-tivit v'amunit. Says Rav Kook, the final level of tshuva encompasses the first two. The level of cognitive tshuva encompasses natural and devotional. Shekfar bal madrega ayona, where you get to the point, asher lo rak tsar gufani o nafshi v'ruchani, v'lo rak hashpa mesuret v'kabbalah. It's not just any physical or emotional pain that is inspiring you. It is not even the influence of the tradition. It's not the influence of any book. It's not the influence of a book that strikes your soul and really inspires you. That's not what causes the tshuva. It is a complete, clear recognition. It comes from a complete and whole perspective on the world and life. When you see the world and life clearly, asher al tala malata, acharei asher atafkida tevi v'amunik farash min bayafad rishumeha. After you feel that physical pain, after you hear the musar shmuz, you read the Torah, you have an enlightening moment. You have an epiphany. Wow, I'm missing something about the world. I'm looking at life the wrong way. Tshuva zuha kula mekamohi mleak far or in kates. It's filled with an unlimited light. Hibal hafoch et hachataim kula mischiyo. This tshuva, again, that comes from a perspective on the world and life. Seeing what the world is doing. What's happening in the world. What's happening around you. And that inspires you to do tshuva. That's filled with an endless amount of light. It turns the sins into mitzvot. From all the mistakes that you made, it turns them into new knowledge. All the ways that you fell become new elevation. That is a tshuva that everyone's looking to, that it has to happen and will happen. Now, here's what's fascinating about this Rav Kook, okay? First of all, does Rav Kook tell us what to do at all? Does he tell us any specific thing we need to do or say? No. He doesn't tell us what to do. He doesn't mention we have to have harata. Doesn't mention regret. Doesn't mention confession. Doesn't mention a sin. He doesn't even mention any specific sin. He doesn't say none of that. And number two, he doesn't even tell us exactly. He's really brief on his description of what this last tshuva is. He says it comes from a certain knowledge of life in the world. What knowledge is that specifically? What knowledge is that specifically? I don't know. He doesn't tell us. But the point is that you have to know it. For Rav Kook, tshuva is descriptive. For Rav Kook, you have to live tshuva. You experience it on your own. When all things are working correctly, when you get in touch with who you are, when you get in touch with everybody around you, when you can clear your mind and see things clearly, tshuva will happen. There might be some disruptions inside of us that sometimes prevent it from happening. There might be things that prevent us from really seeing things and thinking clearly. But tshuva is something that you live. It's part of your life. It's part of your existence. It's a state of being. It's not simply a list of commands to do or not to do. So that's point number one here. I think this is really brought to life beautifully in this next piece from Rav Kook. And here Rav Kook says that there's two ways of looking at tshuva. And that sometimes tshuva is indeed a response to a specific sin. Tshuva is where you did something wrong and it bothers you and you need to change your life. But sometimes there's tshuva that doesn't even relate to a sin at all. There's no sin. There's nothing specific I can point to that I need to change. And there can still be tshuva from that. Okay? V'yeshna od hargashat tshuva. Take a look at number four. And again, he's going to be very... One of the things Rav Kook does is there's a lot of poetic description. It sounds like repetitive. He'll describe a process that goes on within a person's soul. He'll use a lot of words to describe it. And it sort of sounds repetitive. But I think the reason is because he's describing an experience. And we have to contemplate and envision and create an image out in our minds of what that image, that experience might look and feel like. But Rav Kook is telling you, I can't tell you what to do. I can't tell you what to do. I can describe to you what tshuva feels like. I can maybe give you a few pointers in terms of how to get to that feeling. But there is no formula. There's no magic recipe. You have to experience it. Says Rav Kook. V'yeshna od hargashat tshuva, there is a type of tshuva, a feeling of repair, of recovery, of reaching your true self, stamik klali, holistic in general. Ein chit bo chataim shavar limalibo, there's no sin or sins from the past that a person thinks about. Ava keklal hu margish bekirbo shemudugam od, but he feels depressed. I think we can all, you know, point to points in our life where we can't point to anything specific, but we know that something's wrong, right? Have you ever talked to someone, they look very down in the dumps and depressed, and you ask them, okay, is there anything bothering you, what's wrong? And they say, no, not really, I'm just depressed, I'm just sad. I'm just very sad. And they can't point to anything specific. It's not anything specific that happened, but I feel lost. I feel disconnected. I feel like nothing really is vibrant. Nothing really animates me anymore. I just feel blah and down and sad. And that's what he's describing here. Who margish bekribosh medukam od, he feels depressed. Who malei avon, he's full of sin. I don't know what sin, but there's a lot there. I feel way down. Sh'ein or Hashem me'ir alav, the light of God does not illuminate him. Ein ruach nediva bekribo, there is no a spirit within him. Libo atum, his heart is sealed. Midotav tchonot nafsho enan holcho baderech shayisharav haritzuya. His character traits aren't straight. He's not acting the right way. Hariyah l'malot chayim hagunim l'nefesh torah, and he's not acting the way a pure soul should act. Haskalato higasa, his thinking is thick. Rigoshatam meor bavim bekidrot. His feelings are mixed up with darkness and gloom and a thirst that awakens him in him a spiritual disgust. He's embarrassed to walk. I'm embarrassed about how I am. There's a certain sign of almost a depression that he's describing where a person's embarrassed just to walk. They feel insecure about who they are. He knows that there's no God within him. Again, that's actually a quote from the Torah, where Klal Yisrael say, "Halo ki ein elokai bekirbi." I believe we're going to read it soon. Where a person we say, "There's no God within me. I'm disconnected from God. I'm disconnected from myself." The greatest sin, he says, is that you think that God has left you. That's the greatest sin. You think you're disconnected from God. And he wonders about himself. In a motse manos, there's no escape. Mipach mokshim shelo, from this trap of his sins, or not sins, these things that are weighing him down. Inlo tochen miyuchad. And here's the beauty of it. It's not just that you're disconnected from God. You feel like you have no inner uniqueness. There's no content to you. There's nothing. You just feel empty. That's the feeling of sin. That's the almost feeling of sin. Even if there's no specific thing in your life you need to fix generally. And then tshuva comes. That's when tshuva comes. All right, from here. Mitoch merut nafshit zu ba tshuva kiritiyash rofe yuman. From this bitterness comes repentance, comes tshuva, like the bandage, like the treatment of an expert doctor, an expert physician. Hargashana tshuva v'omek idiyata, the feeling of tshuva and the knowledge that there is such a thing called tshuva. A point where Paul was mentioning before, there's a certain knowledge, you have to have an awareness of sin. You know what you also have to do tshuva? An awareness of tshuva. You have to have the awareness that you can repair your life, that your soul is still holy, that you have inner content, you're just not accessing it. You have to be aware of the possibility of return. And when you feel that, it's support in the depth of the soul, the secret of nature, in all the rooms of Torah, it comes and it illuminates a person's soul. It flows into a person's soul. You have confidence that you can be healed. That you can be re-rescuated, be resurrected. Shatshuva moshita l'chol zekim ba. By this tshuva that tshuva brings to all who cling to it. And he goes on and on. I'm not going to read all of it. You can read it for yourself. Describes this spirit that resides within you. You feel that everything is good again. You feel alive again. You feel connected. You feel enervated and animated, and everything is good. And I want to read the end here. I'll read the last few lines. You feel like you're a new person. Like the world is different. All the worlds have become renewed as well. Hakol omer shira. Everything bursts down into song. That the joy of God fills everything. And then he quotes a Gemara from Yuma. Dolat shuva shemeviya refua le'olam. That tshuva, this repair, this returning is great because it brings a healing to the world. And even one person that does tshuva, we pardon him and the whole world as well. So sort of, there's a lot here, but Rakuk is saying that tshuva can be simply a feeling of reconnecting to oneself. And it just, he doesn't even say exactly what triggers it. It just sort of happens. It's hard to know what triggers it. He doesn't tell us what to do. But they're just, after you get to the depths, all of a sudden you just feel this energy. You feel, I can do it. When you are aware of tshuva, when you recognize the fact that no matter how deep you sink, you can repair yourself, then you just get back on track, and then everything becomes enervated. And there's this unity in Rav Kook's thought between all aspects of our individual lives and our national lives, that if I can see that the world is moving in a certain direction, that God put me a soul in me, and my soul naturally grows, naturally my soul should progress, naturally I should connect to God, naturally God gave me a unique content, He gave me a unique character, unique gifts and talents, and they are dying to express themselves, I just need to find a way how that can happen, then that recognition can bring not just you to a greater place, but everybody around you in the world at large to a place of healing. Now, taking a step back for a second. So I think what we made clear is, Rav Kook is saying that we shouldn't look at tshuva as something so specific as a response to one thing I did wrong in my life. If you're looking at tshuva as If you sinned, you might get punished, but you could do tshuva, you could repent, and you say I'm sorry, and then you don't get punished, you're missing the boat. Tshuva is from your soul. Tshuva is a process that happens to the soul inside of you. It is the journey that you are going on as long as you can get back onto it. The world is doing tshuva. Everything is constantly looking to elevate. It's a process that you need to experience, you need to be able to experience. I can't tell you how to do it, I can describe it. That's what Cook tells us. Now, on the one hand, this is very inspiring, and I want to actually address some of the questions asked before. So Paul tells us, well, what if I don't think that I can really keep to the commitment? What if I don't think that I really can wake up every day or speak nicely every single time? I think Rav Cook would tell you it's not about that. It's not about any specific thing. It's about getting on the right track. It's about getting in touch with who you are. It's about seeing the world as it is, seeing the light in the world, seeing the beauty of your soul and the beauty of the world around you. It's about having confidence in who you are and your relationship with God. And there's a specific part of that. You have to calibrate all your actions with that. And I'm not saying that Rukuk is take on and throw away our Rambams. Of course we should try to correct every single thing we do wrong in our lives. But that is not what Shuva is really about. It is not about any specific sin. It is not about what if... And to answer Alan's question, Alan asked, well, what if I don't know about a specific sin? But you do know when you feel disconnected from God. Or you do know when you don't feel anything at all. Or you do know when you look yourself in the mirror and you're thinking, something's missing in my life. That you should know. And that's what tshuva is really about. It's not simply about all the sins that I forgot to write down on my paper, on my notebook. It's about getting in the right direction. That's what tshuva is about. It's about getting on the path. And Rukuk's argument is, that is your natural direction. That's your orientation. That's what should be happening as long as you can get back and reconnect to yourself. Now, I think the response, you could tell Rav Cook, well, this is all very nice, but it's very abstract. It's esoteric. It's probably hard to listen to, and I apologize at 9:17 at night. It's a very abstract and noble idea. It's a way of thinking that I'm trying to relate to. But Rav Cook says somewhere else, I think the reason he talks in this way is because he says, you can't get to the practical aspects of tshuva until you correct your inner world. Back to our relationship analogy. If I am in a fight with someone, I could say all the magic words. I could say I'm sorry. I could tell them I made a mistake. I could promise to do better. But if they don't get the feeling that I'm sincere, if there's still a problem, if they look at me and they think, I don't want to be in a relationship with that person, then it won't matter. It just doesn't matter. If there's no inner relationship, then all the things you say and do aren't going to help. You have to get back to a point where you've decided that you want to have a relationship with each other. And Rav Cook says the same thing. You can try to correct your actions. We can commit to whatever we want. If we don't fix that inner world, if you don't fix that part of ourselves that has confidence in who we are and our relationship with God and the world around us, then it's not going to work. We could try as hard as we may, it's not going to work because there's something more fundamental missing. And that's what I think bothers Rav Cook so much about here. So I want to end with the following, okay? And I know this is heavy stuff, but thank you for listening. I hope it's been enlightening. How does Rav Cook know this? Is he right? I mean, it sounds very inspiring, it's philosophical, it's enlightening. I think it's actually a relief to some degree because, you know, I find it very demanding to think about every single thing I did wrong and that there's a tshuva that's more holistic. It's a bigger tshuva that responds to everything. I like that, but who says? So I actually think when the Torah itself talks about tshuva, I think it talks more in the language of Rav Cook than you might have thought. Take a look at the source number 5. Source number 5 is Devarim Perek Lamed. It's in Parshat Nitzavim, which you read in 2 weeks, which is the Parsha about Tshuva. It says as follows. Vaya ki yavo alecha kol hadvarim ha'ele, habracha ha'aklala. When all these things happen to you, the blessings and the curses, The point number one is the Torah introduces Teshuvah with the background of life experience. It means it nationally, and that, I think, relates to what Rav Kook is saying, that I think Rav Kook thinks we've gotten to this point. We've gone through the bracha on the klal as a nation, but also individually. Teshuvah comes from a certain experience that you have in your life. It's not something you wake up and say one day. It comes from a context. So when all these things happen to you, first, number one, v'hashev ota el vavecha, you will return to your heart. Return to your heart. Amongst all the Gentile nations where God exiles you, and you return to Hashem your God, and you listen to His voice, like everything I command to you today, you and your children with all your heart and all your soul. So you're going to do tshuva, and then you're going to listen to God's voice. First is the returning. First you return to God. Then you start listening. And look what happens. You return to God. What does God do? He returns you. He returns you to your place in the world. He returns you to your natural location, to your origin. It's reciprocal. That's how tshuva works. It's a world process. It's a global process. He's going to gather you among all the nations that God dispersed you there. If you're scattered throughout the world, I'll take you from there. We return to God. He brings us all together. God will bring you back to your land. He promised your father, your forefathers, that, and you will inherit it. And He will be good to you and make you multiply more than your forefathers. Okay. And He's going to circumcise your hearts. And and you will love Him with all your heart and all your soul. And all the curses that you experience will be upon your enemies. And now again, you return. Says God, return. And listen to God's voice. And do all His commandments. What does the Torah say to us again and again? We have to return to God with all our heart and all our soul. You know what it doesn't say? That much else. Are there any specifics here? Is there any formula? Is there any nitty-gritty? Come on, Hashem, what do I do? Like, I want to return to you, but what do I do? I want to return to my heart, but what do I do? What do I say? What order? No. Not really. Now, you could tell me, oh, you're going to keep the mitzvot. First of all, it's not always associated with returning to God. Sometimes we return to God, and then we do mitzvot. Sometimes we do mitzvot, and then return to God. Sometimes we return to our hearts. But more specifically, tshuva is more than that. The Rambam, if you remember, when he talked about how to do tshuva, he didn't get it from the Torah. He gathers it from all across the Navi. You know why? Because the Torah doesn't tell us what to do. It doesn't tell us what to do. It simply says, return. Get back to who you are. Return to your heart, and in so doing, return to God. I can't tell you how to do that. Exactly, I can't give you specific directions, but I could tell you the general goal. That's what it is. It's not about something specific. And when you do that, God returns to you. You have to have a certain faith. God makes it easier. God gives you love for Him. God makes you, He circumcises our hearts. He brings us back to our homeland. He gathers us together. It's reciprocal. God helps you along the way. But it's nothing specific. And so, sort of to close, I think Rav Kook looked at the Rambam and he said, this is great. It's a helpful formula. We should follow it. But if you think tshuva simply means stopping to sin, if you think it simply means going forward and thinking about a way I'm not going to sin in the future and correcting one specific aspect of my life or even five aspects of my life, then you're missing the boat. It's not about just specific sins. It's about your approach to life. It's about reconnecting to who you are, to reconnecting, re-looking at the world. reimagining what life's about and reconnecting to God. And when you do that, that's when tshuva happens, and all the struggles, all the hardship, they all become building blocks in building you as a person. They become new aspects of your life. They become educational tools in growing your understanding of the world. And that's the ultimate goal of tshuva. It's returning to yourself and returning to God. And in that vein, I hope, as we approach tshuva, we get into nitty-gritty, we try to be better, and we think, and we hit our chests, we list all the things we did wrong, hopefully we think still about the bigger picture of reconnecting to ourselves and reconnecting to God. So thank you very much for joining me tonight. And if anyone has any questions, I'm happy to stay on for a few more minutes.